Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Monday, the 15th of February, number 753. I can't remember, maybe 54. 53, I think. I hope you had a good weekend. Mindset Monday. I'm going to talk a bit about resilience. I want to try and get it shorter. These are a bit shorter. I do feel I waffle on a bit and perhaps then the key points get missed by people. Again, feedback, guys. I'm sitting in a room talking to myself. So the more feedback you can give me, the better I can sort of tailor things and help people. Those in the Telegram group, we had a good, you know, I went on a sort of Mindset Monday post yesterday. I'll get to all that in a minute. So the golf, obviously put up Nate Lashley. Going well. I was sitting at one stage with a position of $5,000 on him and level with the others, which I shared in Telegram. I then took $1,000 out of that. More out of thinking, well, if he does have a bad hole or whatever, I'd be disappointed if I haven't got anything. But all along, I thought he's going to at least get to a playoff or be playing the last, perhaps, neat with par five, needing a birdie to win or tie. I sat in quite a good position. I sort of had about $3,500 on him and $1,000 on the field. Was quite enjoying it. I thought if I can get to a playoff or get to the 18th tee with him in that position, I'd be able to level it up for sort of $2,500 across the board. Would have been quite nice. But that was some collapse on 16. I mean, it was just I don't know whether anybody watched the golf. It was just a complete and utter loss of the head and nothing else. And again, you can sort of, I often compare golf to trading because it was something that I played to a reasonable level and just shows you how, I mean, he'd missed the green on 15, got it up and down, hit a bad shot, got it up and down, slammed his club in the bag when he did that. So you could see he was under, you know, putting himself under a great bit of pressure. And it's a good tee shot down 16. Hasn't got far to go. Just adrenaline hits it too far, goes over the back. Not the end of the world. It still can get it up and down, or even if he takes bogey, he's still one behind and he's got a birdieable par five, eagleable par five to come. And just completely lost the head. Chips it to 12 foot for three. And then takes another four from 12 feet. And you could see it, those watching it, it was nothing other than just mental breakdown, and then slams his putter in the ground. It's the quickest I've ever seen a golfer go. He was 3.25 playing his second shot into 16, and he went to 1,000 in the space of three shots. It's the quickest I've ever seen that happen. And just shows you that if you lose your head at anything, invariably it goes badly. So managed to bag $1,000 out of it. Berger won well in the end. He eagled the 18th. But just shows you that keeping cool is the only way you get on. And losing the plot doesn't solve anything whatsoever. I can't think of any circumstance in life where losing the plot solves it, other than me losing the plot for a bit of self-cleansing on this pod. So that was the golf. We'll do a few more Sundays of that through the summer. Quite often, what I like about golf, like Spieth was, I said to Leigh Spieth, he was way underpriced yesterday. It is in a similar way to football that the reputations and big names can force you to find value elsewhere. Spieth will win again, but I think he'll fall into one. It'll be where he's sort of sitting seventh or eighth going into the final day and shoots a good round and wins that way, as opposed to going out leading from the front. He is very erratic as a golfer, fantastic short game, and that's where it's got to hold up under pressure. And I don't think, you know, after 3 years of not winning, I don't think front running is the way for him to go. Cantlay's not a prolific winner. Tex, Suggsy and the group in last night very early on, I said I don't think Spieth or Cantlay win this. But when you've got big names at the leaderboard, there's often value to be had elsewhere, and that was purely that sort of play. Lashley, Streelman, people like that, they were always, I felt, going to trade Even if you just wanted a dob, they were always going to trade with a view of the names around them. And I quite like that on a Sunday to have a look at that. So now the NFL's stopped, we'll see if we can do a bit more of that on Sunday. I hope some of you nicked a few quid. I was going to make this shorter, wasn't I? I waffled on about golf for 5 minutes. But yeah, just it was interesting for me just because of the collapse. As I say, quickest I've ever seen a golfer go from 3.x to 1,000 in all the years I've been doing this. And football-wise, the old Gooners won, didn't they? Fulham beat Everton. Just unbelievable. I actually had a really good day yesterday, but still some strange old results. United couldn't beat West Brom. Fulham obviously going to Everton and winning, which I'll be honest, I didn't see. And the old Gooners whacking in four. I thought when Leeds got the second one back, I thought, oh, this could be interesting. I think I remember them a few years ago. They went 4-0 up against Newcastle, didn't they? Newcastle got it back to 4-4, but they hung on for a good win, and Leeds continue their win-loss cycle. Today we have Chelsea. I think they'll win comfortably. And we have the dreaded fear of... I think they're playing Sheffield United, isn't it? Is it Sheffield United? Of the old carpet moving back up into the top four. This is desperate times, isn't it? Desperate times. 8 o'clock, they could be, what, third, fourth? But I expect Chelsea to win as well. I think they'll both win tonight, both the home teams, West Ham and Chelsea. Interesting, I'm going to post some stuff about percentages and match odds and that this week. And obviously I talked about second half goals on... Sunday last week, can't remember when it was. This week on the FDD League. So I only use FDD Leagues. That's the only leagues I bet in. I keep saying to people, one of the best filters you can apply is leagues. I like stuff that I can scale up. You know, I know people bet in Vietnam and places like that. I've found those leagues to get up to the stakes I want to have and get my money on when I want to get it on. I mean, don't have bookmakers, and if you did win, you'd be shut anyway, to scale up. So the FDD leagues are the only ones I use, and it, as I say, it acts as a sort of built-in filter, in effect, to stop me having too many bets. But there was 155 games between Friday night and the last game in Brazil last night at the weekend on the FDD leagues. And 108 of them had a second half goal, so that equates to only 69%. Now those leagues run historically, 5 years time, last 5 years historically, 79 to 80%, never veered, 79 80%. I said last week we seem just to be in one of the dips of second half goals. Only 69% second half games had a second half goal this weekend. 30% didn't. It's incredibly low, that is, and it will, obviously there'll be weeks where it has 85, 90% to get it back to that 80% figure. And that's sort of key to what I want to talk about in this building. Today I want to talk a little bit about building resilience in the Mindset Monday. And... You know, last week I spoke about profit and loss and reacting to that. I've talked about planning. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter who you are going to go through bad spells. And I've talked about trying to understand the numbers. But you've got to just be able to yourself build some sort of resilience to what's going on. It's a difficult thing. Again, it's a learned skill. To some sort of a resilience is the word, some sort of way of inner coping mechanism, I guess is what I'm trying to say, of building resilience would be managing bad turns. So in life in general, there's two ways you can look at things. I know at times I come across as a miserable old git, this, that and the other. A lot of that's just to do with how I might be feeling that particular day, you know, particularly at the minutes, get up, do the same single every single day. You know, my release was going out and having a beer, going to the football. And we're all in this boat, and I am by far no worse than anybody and probably a lot better than a lot of people. So I'm not having a down on me there. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes people say, well, you sounded miserable. I'm in general a very upbeat, very optimistic person, but I'm also very much a realist. So when I talk about Tottenham, it's a big part of my life. It's a big part of my life probably more now because there's not much else going on and they're playing every third or fourth day. So I'm a bit more aware of what's going on. I've not got other stuff that, you know, I'd be going and having a beer and I'd be living an experience around the match that would give me something else to talk about. It is literally you've got a match. So, but all I am with Tottenham is a realist. I look at what's going on and interpret it my way. But in general, I'm a very glass half full sort of guy as opposed to glass half empty. And I think when people are going through losing periods or bad periods or periods of uncertainty, they are more glass half empty. They're looking at life, you know, as it's all going down the pan and this and the other, and in particular in trading. So I've done a sheet for match odds, which I'll put on the website this week, and it's got the 1x2s. Paul Surridge has helped me, Suggsy, to be fair. It's basically taking all the data and breaking it down breaking it down into home win percentages, draw percentages. Sorry, I've got people texting me, all sorts going on, just distracting me, sorry. Home win percentages, draw percentages, away percentages. Because obviously at the minute people are looking in this strange time. I've talked about it being a strange time. I've talked about the volume of football. Others want to put it on the fact that there's no crowds. So I've done a breakdown of all the leagues in home win percentages, draw percentages, away win percentages over the last 4 years to put on the website for you so that you can download it and actually see the numbers. And you'll see that in pretty much most leagues, there's nothing massively out of the ordinary. Draw percentages are way down in Bundesliga 2. But overall, you know, there's not things that can leap off the page at that and you go, wow, Jesus Christ, look at that. You know, in the Primera division in Spain, for example, draw percentages in 2017-18 were 22%. That's really low. They were 28% in 2018-19, 27% in 19-20, and 30% this year. So around that 28 to 30% is probably where they are. But 2017-18, it was 22%. So if you were laying the draw back that season, you've probably done very well. And it's just evening out a little bit. But people panic, and obviously we've got this thing where we want to blame it on something. So at the minute, we're seeing second half goal percentages down, definitely, you know, and they will come back. And I'll put these match odds on. It's pointless just reading out a load of numbers on a pod. I'll put this sheet up over the next day or so. I'll try and get it up probably tomorrow morning. And you can download it like the goal time sheet. It's basically got all the odds, just the general stats for the leagues for the last four seasons. And then there's another page with stuff broken down by odds brackets. So where the number of draws when the home team's 101 to 1.49 number of games and percentages. So you can see that breakdown a little bit more. So why is that relevant? One of the reasons why I can be glass half full, and I've done it with this, you know, when I put in the group yesterday, when people were telling me in October, and they were telling me that football was dead, it's never going to be the same, no home fans. And the example being quoted to me again, and we live in this world where people will take the one example they find to back up their argument rather than a whole general picture. And the example being quoted at that time was the Championship. Average goals were less than two a game. Home teams weren't winning. I think the win percentage was down around 20% October, November. And I was getting it from everywhere. I was getting, you know, everywhere. I kept saying, no different. And people kept saying, talking shit, look at the Championship, blah, blah, blah. So I put the numbers up for the Championship yesterday in the Telegram group that the the number of percentages of home wins. I'm just going to find it. There was a lot going on in there yesterday, so I've got to go back quite a way. I did go on one a little bit. Let me just find it. Where did I put it? So 2019-20 in the championship, home wins were 41.65%, draws were 26.9%, away wins were 31.2%. 2021 so far, home wins are now 40.35%, 1.3 down on the season before. Draws are 26.9%, season before 26.93%, away wins 32.75%. This season compared to 31.42. So it's a 1.3 swing between home wins and away wins. Draws exactly the same. It's next to nothing. The goal averages were less than 2. They're now up to 2.25. There were 10 games in the championship this week. They averaged over 3 goals a game. There was 2 postponements. So one of the ways I build my personal resilience, and I look at this, I look at everything as an opportunity. So I know now that over the last 6 weeks, second half goals are down by studying the numbers. I know those I know that that is not right. Either I'm completely wrong and there's a seismic shift in football and second half goals are going to stay at 69-70%, in which case I'm going to start backing blind the half-time score and make a killing until people realise. Or what is almost certainly going to happen, and this is just comes from experience and watching football and doing this for a long time, is though that current period will change, and it may just be our fixtures are falling. As I say, it may be too much football, it may be missed penalties, it could be whatever, but that will number. There will be weekends ahead that will be 80, 90, 95%, which will pull that figure overall to 79-80%. It's absolutely, in my mind, guaranteed. So that's the opportunity I look for, because I look and think, yeah, at the minute it's dry, and I had a really good day yesterday. I had a really good day. I won a right good few quid yesterday. But at the moment it's dry-ish. I'm going to have a day when I'm absolutely fill my boots, or a period where I absolutely fill my boots. It might be 3 weeks down, it might be 4 weeks down, where these goals, suddenly this percentage starts to level out and you win a fortune. You know, the example I've got, I guess, if you back favourites in horse racing, we know over a period of time that they pretty much break even, less the commission. But they don't win in this order that happens. You might have 3 months where favourites get turned over for fun, and then you'll have 3 months where they win for fun and it levels everything out. So part of that building that resilience for me, and I can only talk from my experience and hope that some of that passes on, is to get a better understanding of developing that resilience, to never stop learning, and to move on from it. So when we're going through, you know, we're talking about building resilience, we're talking about handling bad times again, handling losses. The first thing is to not take it personally. I think when people are going through periods of losses, they get frustrated, they get disappointed, they get scared, they doubt what they're doing. They look at everything that is bad that is going on. Everything is the negative side of it. So then you're deliberately sort of putting yourself by choice into this I can't succeed, nothing ever goes right for me bracket. That's what you're doing. So what you need to try and do is refocus everything forward and think, how can I look at this in a more analytical way that makes some sense, that gives me a path of light, if you like, through which to work. And I've talked about banks being a tool, and if you haven't lost your bank, then you know, hopefully you're set up and you're in the game that we can ride these out. And it's different approaches. I always say if you're doing fixed odds, your banks should be able to pretty much take anything over a 3 to 5 year period. Trading, we're in a lot more control of what we're doing, and it's slightly different because you can control how many trades you have a day, how many you enter. I told the guys how many bets I'd had yesterday. I think some of them were quite surprised. I put the four bets trade yesterday, all winners. I put the fourth one up in the group. You know, I have other stuff going on. I have the stuff I do for groups. I have the fixed odds bots running, and I have lots of other bits going on. But actually sitting there making a decision on the day, I had a massive list of games, but I chose to play the games I wanted to play when everything looked right. So I'm used to that. I'm like a robot going through it. And again, when you're in a bad spell, when you're feeling this pain, or if you're losing and you've not got this resilience, that's when you start to falter from your plan. It's when you start to go off. So you've got to try and refocus on understanding what's going on, not taking it personally, and almost sort of disassociating. I've said many times before, I'm a very level individual, despite what people think, and I can rev up on air and this, that, and the other. In life in general, I'm a very level individual. I tend to step back and think about things. I don't want to blow me on track. I'm a good person for people to come to with problems, because I don't jump in. I stop and think about a way, what would I do? How would I work that out? So when you're in that situation, rather than looking at the sort of happiness and misery of every result, when you stay level, you're able just to work yourself through it, again, building that bit of resilience. Whereas when you're hanging every bit of happiness, I guess, would be on that, on the fact that you're taking everything personally, and every single result determines whether you're happy or sad. And if it starts going against you, that's shit, that's shit, that's shitter. Now it's really shit, that's shit. There. Rather than accepting this randomness of how results will come, understand the numbers a bit more, understand what's going on, and then you'll build this sort of resilience. Because I look at it and think, as I say, 69% is abnormal. There's definitely going to be a good period where these goals come, and it's going to be fantastic. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm genuinely excited that that's going to happen. Like I told you, that the home wins in the championship, it was impossible, absolutely impossible for them to stay at 20%. So if people have been backing home wins since sort of November onwards, they will have done well. And I told you, it was impossible. And people go, how do you know it's impossible? It is impossible. That's how the numbers, odds, percentages work out. It would be like tossing a coin, and you toss 500 heads on the row, and you say that's going to keep on forever. It is impossible for it to keep on forever. Because forget teams involved, forget team names, forget championships, forget Premier Leagues. It's mathematics. It's impossible for it to continue. I'm telling you now, it is impossible for it to be every single weekend 69% second half goals. It's impossible. Don't care what anybody tells me, it is impossible. And if it's not impossible, then the odds will move over time. But it is impossible for that to be maintained. And that's the facts of it. So again, I'm getting into talking too much and not. So the first thing is to try and understand the numbers a little bit better. Actually, what is happening on that particular thing? And I do analysis every single day, pretty much. Certainly after a weekend, you know, I've done all my numbers tomorrow. I'll do some more this afternoon, ready for tonight, ready to go. So you've got to understand that, rather than taking it personally and taking in each individual match personally. There's definitely FTS specific wise, and I imagine this probably goes around other services, be it racing, football, whatever it may be, people doing too much, so spreading themselves too thin, involved in too many games, and then it's difficult to get into a rhythm of two or three winners, because that's winning, but that one lost, and you feel you're not going anywhere. Forgetting the money, and I think when people are losing money, they tend to focus on that. How would I phrase that? The feeling of sort of almost the desperation of money leaking out the window. And rather than actually building patience and trust, staying disciplined, again, it's just that sort of draining thought of, oh, there's another 15 quid gone, another 15 quid gone. I think you'll be open to sort of learn the numbers and understand those a bit more to help you get through that. As I said, this is a learned skill. It's not something, I don't expect people to click their fingers and go, I'm going to be super resilient today, because each result niggles away at you. But what you've got to try and do is turn that around and refocus away from it to what's actually going on, understand it's not personal, understand what went before. So for example, I said to the guys yesterday, we almost accept that Liverpool Man City getting 100 points and beating everybody was the norm. It was not, and it never has been the norm in football. It was a wild couple of years, but because that's what's happening now, and again, everybody in the world seems to focus on only what's happening in their own little world, in that own little window at that time, where I can take a step back and go, actually, that was fucking pretty weird. What Liverpool and Man City done was absolutely phenomenal. And obviously what Messi and Ronaldo did at Barca and Real Madrid, phenomenal. That's the abnormals. And by taking a step and looking at the whole picture, you go, actually, that's right. That's why when I say Tottenham have been shit, I don't react to one result. Tottenham have been shit for 2 years. Tottenham, I don't think, and I might be wrong, but I don't think Tottenham have beaten a team above them for over 12 months now. We beat Man City in January last year. I don't think they've beat a team above them in the league. I'm not talking when the league starts and you're down at the bottom. But let's say when there's four or five games and you've got an established league table, I don't think Tottenham have beaten a team above them. So I look at it not at that one game, and it's not a reaction to when I talk about that. They are pretty poor. The market's expectation, the public's expectation, sky waxing lyrical about how great Pochettino was, all that built this image of Tottenham being something where I can step back and go, actually, we weren't. We had one really good season when we were playing, I think, the best football. We had a really good back four, everybody playing at the same time. But I can take, that's a good example where I can step back and look at it. It's no different to how I step back and look at these second half goals and go, that's not right, that's not normal, that's not possibly going to continue. I look at Liverpool getting 100 odd points and go, really good, fantastic. Can't keep going though. And I said to you, once they lose one game at home, once you start to lose that invincibility, all of a sudden we're seeing a regression back to normal. To Liverpool fans, it seems an absolute disaster, because it is. But look at what went before it and say, could that possibly be maintained? Because if it could, we might as well all pack up and go home. We might as well close the leagues and that's it, give it to Liverpool every year. Of course it can't be maintained, and we see it all the time. We see it with Chelsea, we've seen it with United, we saw it with Arsenal. You see all these teams at the top, and yeah, the game's changed, but City don't win the league every year. Chelsea have won it, Liverpool have won it. So it's a good example to look back at and take a wider view of things rather than focusing just on what's happening there and that £15 you lost then. Actually take a step back, try and understand what's gone on, what went before it, what is likely then to happen after it, and you get a better perspective of it to build this resilience that I talk about. And we make this game hard. You know, this game is very simple. We make it hard with our emotions and how we beat it up. And if we just think process and not money and not end game at the minute, just think process, doing it every day, you build that machine-like rhythm to it that goes through and you look at it and go, yeah, I didn't win this week, but I did everything right. I did everything right, and I can build that resilience to take it forward. Because you will have bad days. Everybody has bad days. Everybody, and me included, has doubts. Don't think that I don't. But you just got to keep going and plug away. And I think one of the big things I said it to the guys again yesterday. I'm a very patient individual. Certain things I'll fly off the handle at very quickly. But in all my working life, in when I played golf, I'm a very patient individual. I try not to let things faze me too much. Sam's one of the most impatient people I've ever met in my life. And that's one area where we do clash. Like, we'll go to a show in Vegas, and there might be a queue of 10 people. It's too many for Sam. 10 people's too many. She just wants to get there and be able to walk straight in. She doesn't want a queue for anything. Okay, hang on a minute. You know, just, it's not normal life, that. So impatience is a big thing, and you've got to try and just accept it and move on, and not let that get to you. You know, this impatience to win quicker, win all the time. You know, I said to the guys yesterday, one thing that would really interest me, I think it would be a really good sort of exercise, would be to put a Google sheet up and say to you guys, just to post your one best bet of the day. You've got all these bets that you want to do, but you put your one best bet of the day. And I reckon that people had to focus down just on one bet, they'd probably do better than they're doing now. They'd put a lot of thought into what one they picked. They put it forward. Of course, if you were doing that as a betting method and it lost, you'd be going, oh, if I wasn't doing that and that one won, this, that and the other. But I'm talking about getting some focus to what's going on and just getting into a process again of post that, get on with it. Of course, for most people, that wouldn't be enough action. You know, there's still people who want to be involved in loads of action and doing loads of things. But you know, I'd be just love to do it as an exercise, get everybody just to say, right, put your best bet up every single day for 30 days. And if there isn't a bet, you don't have a bet. Be really interesting to see. So for this resilience, firstly, we want to try and look what's gone before, look what's gone ahead. Without, you know, again, a lot of people are, and I've got to take responsibility for this. We've produced tools and spreadsheets where I think, one, people are using too much, and two, they're taking that as absolute gospel, as in, that's what that says, so nothing can happen again around it. Well, of course it can. And I've sort of talked about making yourself bomb-proof and look at it. But it's that feeling bad, that being hard on yourself, letting the losses get to you and blaming the lack of progress, this glass half empty, that I think then becomes more of a hindrance than actually trying to understand, of taking that long view backwards and forwards of what's going on. You know, and as long as you can get to the end of the month, if you've got a bank set up and you can get to the end of the month and you can go, I did everything I should have done there. Everything I should have done. I didn't place bets I didn't have. I didn't change anything. I did everything that I should have done, but results didn't go my way. If you can get there, I'm confident you build that resilience, you build that route to success. Then if you're beating yourself up, you're changing things, you're having bets you shouldn't have, you're doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing, you're missing days because you had loss yesterday, oh, I'm giving up now, I'm not doing it, whatever. Your brain is always, I think we've all got it in us. I said we're wired to be anti-danger, aren't we? You know, if you see a fire, you don't run towards it, you run away from it. And I think when we're betting and trading, I think that's the nature of people, that when things go wrong, they run away from it. Whereas I say, I tend to look for the opportunity in that and think, actually, what's going on here? Is there a real reason for it, rather than a reason we want to perceive in our head? You know, and again, you know, that's happening currently in every walk of life. We're having whatever view we've got, and I include myself in this. You know, I've got a view that I don't like Liverpool, so I don't tend to read pro-Liverpool articles, but if there's a negative Liverpool article, I'd probably read it. And I think we take that with everything, you know, taking it to the extremes, things like Brexit, politics in America, politics in this country, COVID at the minute, testing, vaccines, whatever. You know, football's an example for me. It doesn't actually make any difference what I think, not there. When I'm talking about things like Brexit and that, I don't just read pro-Brexit stuff. I don't just read pro-way, we've left now, but leave or remain stuff. I try to read both and get a picture on both. Exactly the same. People say, oh, you're down on Trump. I've read so much about him that, but yeah, I don't like the guy. That's a fact. But if there's something good that he did, I would hold my hands up and say, hang on a minute, that actually makes sense. Vaccines, exactly the same. I've had some of you send me papers on vaccines. Fascinating read. Scott Harvey sent me stuff on vitamin D3 ages ago, six, 8 months ago. A lot more studies on that now. I've been reading a lot about that this week and the benefits of it. And it does look like taking vitamin D3 is a massive help to things, from the couple of papers I've read. But I'm probably sure I'll be able to find some that say that it isn't. But I try and take a rounded view. And the point I'm trying to make with your football betting, you should try and take a rounded view exactly the same, rather than trying to find a reason and beating yourself up. It's easy, too easy to say, no home crowds, football's fucked. That's an easy thing to say. Whereas actually look at, has this happened before? What's gone on? What is likely to go on going ahead? And you can predict forward. You know, I make a statement, 69.3% second half goals will not be sustained. There, I'm telling you that. Now, I couldn't give a monkeys if they never opened a football stadium again to fans. That will not be sustained. And I've put my whole reputation on the line making that statement. It's actually not that big a leap to make that statement. It really isn't, because it won't happen. It's not something that I'm really taking a massive leap with. But you've got to try and react to different things. If you're trying to make yourself, not trying to make yourself, if you are making yourself sad and angry at every single result, and I've talked about ways to handle that, I'm still amazed in Telegram. People, I find out what's going on. I find out whether there's been a second half goal in a half time CSLA, or if I've put a trade up where there's been a goal. I find out by 15, 20 people in Telegram. You must have every game on. Just drives me banal. I don't know how you do it. Fair play to you if that's what you want to do. But must drive yourself, because you're living every kick. You're living every bit of emotion. Like I say, the penalty that I had that missed Rio Ave 2 weeks ago. Of course I'm annoyed at the penalty miss. There was a penalty miss in Brazil yesterday. I knew about it from the Telegram group. I wouldn't have known otherwise. I see the market suspend. I see it open again. I think, oh, maybe a red card. But it doesn't faze me how it got there. All I want to know at the end of it, did I win X pounds or did I lose X pounds? Put it in the spreadsheet, move on to the next one. But you live in every kick. So when you're doing that and things are going badly, you're just compounding this misery. You're just making yourselves more miserable. You're reinforcing the negative thoughts. You're reinforcing the glass half empty. You're not taking it forward and building, giving yourself a chance to build any resilience, because you're living every emotion of every kick and every result. So I think this sheet that I put up will help people understand the percentages of what happens in football a bit more. I think you should try and then understand the percentages of goals and the randomness of how they come about. And then start to look at how you manage yourself and how you're going to look at things going forward. And I say it's not easy. It's not something that you go, oh, I'm going to be resilient tomorrow and it's going to be really fantastic. I think you've got to accept that you're never going to stop learning. I think you've got to try and think process and not profit and loss and goals. I think obviously you've got to have a good strategy in the first place, which I think a lot of you have, but you maybe do too much. And there's never a bad time, genuinely, to reevaluate what you're doing and have a look and go, actually, I am doing, and be honest with yourself. That's one of the key things. You know, we make stuff too hard because we start thinking about, I saw 200, we fast forward everything. I saw 200 points on the sheet. If I can get that to £200 stakes, wow, there's 40 grand there. And I think people do that rather than actually thinking, all I want to do is do the same thing day in, day out and see if this works. And then if it works, and I can prove myself it works, I've built up resilience, I know it's working, then you can increase your stakes and move on. Again, I keep coming back to the same sort of thing. Social media, people will reinforce the opinion you want. If people want to put you down, they'll help you get down on social media 100%. Very few people are helpful. So you need to learn to, what do you actually need to bin? What do you need to let go of to build your own resilience to move it forward? I'm really conscious that I'm sort of waffling, but it sort of starts with understanding numbers, having a plan, understanding numbers, not taking everything personally, forgetting the money and thinking of process, refocusing if you need to refocus, actually get yourself, go over everything again and say, where am I going with this? What am I doing, rather than making the game hard? You don't want to make it hard. Accepting you're going to learn all the time. So if we need to learn about percentages and goals, then we do it. It's too easy to say, I can't do Excel, I can't do percentages. It's all too easy. I think things like, and I've done this randomly myself, I've sort of never committed. I'm one of those, I'm not a big person on, I don't mind reading stuff and that, but I'm not a big person on keep fit I said a while ago, I'm going to go to the gym. I did it for a while. I hated it. I do think you want to be relatively fit and clear-headed. So I walk every day. That's something that I do with the dog. I have 3 walks. So I do think that walking and getting some fresh air is good at times. But maybe even things like, for some of you that I see in that trading group, some of these apps, I talked a while ago about breathing. which I think is a really good thing, just stopping and taking some breathe in for 4 seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, breathe out for 4 seconds. If you're feeling a bit under it, it's a really good way of just clearing your mind. It gets you thinking about your breathing as opposed to the missed penalty. But even some of these apps like Calm and something like that may help some people, just to switch off a little bit from it, just to switch yourself off and relax a little bit more and come in. I think people put far too much pressure on themselves to succeed, and as I say, take everything personally. The ultimate line is, if you're set up everywhere and you then cut out the silly mistakes, or cut out not having bets that you shouldn't have, and sticking to your plan, the ultimate is then that losses are just bumps on a very long setup that you've got. And I can't stress that enough. I understand that people want everything quickly, but if you took a much longer, widespread view to it, didn't dive in, didn't dwell on what you might have done or should have done or could have done, and just thought of, actually, I'm just going to do this. Yeah, we had a bad day. Move on. We had a bad day. There, you move on and you get through it. So you start to learn to control your own thought process through it, as opposed to the narrative that you've built up over a long period of time, where you're taking it all personally and you're beating yourself up, and almost to that extent that you feel guilty of it, what you're doing. So I think, one, you've got to try and be happier. So, you know, let's just go through it again. The first thing is, try and be happier. Try not to be so down on yourself and take it personally. Understanding the numbers, obviously with your plan, then understanding the numbers of what's happening and looking and thinking, can that possibly... there'll be people who tell me 69% goals can keep going. They're definitely... I'll have a couple of emails over the next day. Why can't they? Tell me why they can't. They just can't. They won't. It will not happen. As I said, you know, the championship people were telling me exactly the same. Why won't it? Well, it won't. You know, I can't say... It's just not football. It's just not the way the games work. It's not the way odds work. It's not the way pricing works. It just won't happen. And that's where you build trust in a process and trust in numbers over a period of time. So refocusing... understanding the numbers, look at what you're doing, definitely. You know, I think people are doing far too much still. You know, I'm amazed that people have got ultimate. They're doing ultimate main, ultimate alternate. They're doing Poisson, they're doing ELO, they're doing ELO, they're doing halftime CSLAs, they're doing FDD. I keep going back, Mindset Monday 1, 3 years I laid the draw. 3 years, that's it. Not any other bet in my life did I have. And I know that's hard for people, and there's a lot more now. Football betting now is a lot more widespread. But people worrying about other people and other things. You know, now people worrying about this, do I have to send my bills into bookmakers? People worrying about premium charge when that came out. Worry about what you're doing today, not what's going to might happen down the road. You know, pages and pages. Yes, the bookmaker thing, but ultimately, if I have to send my bills in, I have to send my bills in. I don't agree with it, but if that's what it's going to be, that's what it's going to be. I can't, again, I'm going to do one of these, I'm going to do control the control. I can't control it. I've done my bit. I've said my piece on that thing by February the 9th. I can't do any more. But people go on and on and on and on worrying about it. People going on and on about stadiums being empty. We can't change stadiums being empty. You've either got a choice to make. Don't bet at all. But don't bet and moan about stadiums being empty. They've been empty now for the best part of a year. They're going to be empty for another year. You're not going to have 60,000 people walking into Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in 2021. It's not going to happen. I very much doubt it'll happen in 2022. So it's here. I can't change it. I can't control it. Don't worry about it. So I have gone on far too long again. Sorry. I should script these and write them out. I didn't this one. So firstly, look at your setup, look at what you're doing. Secondly, rather than getting beaten up there, try and understand the numbers around what you're doing and try and be a bit nicer to yourself. Try not to be beating yourself up all the time. There's no harm in stopping something now if you really don't understand it and don't trust it and not happy with it. some breathing, some meditation or calm, that sort of stuff if needed. A full refocus, trying to take yourself away from individual results, missed penalties, whatever it may be, into a process-based, process not end result sort of setup. I think all those things worked on, and I'm not saying it'll happen directly straight away, but worked on, we'll see an improvement in your mindset. And that's all this is a mindset thing, resilience, and build it up and you'll start to learn. And to be fair, some of you have been absolutely brilliant with this, you know, over a period of 2 or 3 years now, and learning that losses will happen. They're going to be part of your whole journey if you keep doing this. It's never going to change. You're going to have good spells, bad spells. The key is to not completely lose your head when you're having a bad spell, not to completely panic. And I think, you know, the cycle that people go on is taking it personally, it's all shit, I'm giving that up now, and then 2 days later they start something else that goes okay, then it starts going off a cliff again, oh that's all shit, and they fall off. At some stage, the only way you make this work is to stick at something, definitely to stick at it, and then build that resilience to see it through. And all that comes from what are you doing, the planning, the not reacting to each individual profit and loss, running a process, keeping good records, moving it forward, understanding all the time, learning a bit more about what you're doing and taking it forward. Apologies again, I wanted this to be about 25-30 minutes, it's 46 minutes. There is a late first half goal at Toulouse in France tonight, is the only bet. I'm probably going to revisit some of this. I don't tend to listen to these back, but I might play this one back and put it in a bit more order at the front of next week's. Just because I felt myself going off on a few little different tangents there. I kind of had yesterday's conversation in my Telegram in my head, which has kind of clouded me a little bit because we went on a little bit of a long one in there yesterday. Right, late first half goal at Toulouse. Have a good week, and I will be back with you tomorrow for Tuesday, and I'll get this sheet up, publish these stats, and I'll talk a bit more about the second half goals and this, that and the other through the week as well. Just give you some more numbers on that as we go through this week. Okay, have a good Monday, and I'll speak to you tomorrow.